Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Today's passage contrasts the attitudes and outcomes of the wicked and the righteous in various aspects of life, such as management of finances, speech, friendship, and justice. The wicked rely on their own resources, express their folly, isolate themselves, and face ruin. The wise seek understanding, find refuge in God, have faithful friends, and receive honor. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 18, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. So look at verse 10 and verse 11. There's a striking contrast between trusting in the Lord and trusting in wealth. Where one finds security and safety spiritually has eternal consequences. To trust the Lord is a certain and inviolable place of safety forever. To trust one's own resources is nothing more than a delusion. We read in the book of Luke a story that you all know. Luke chapter 12. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he, that is Jesus, said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness. There is a beware for you and I tonight. When you hear the word beware, what does it do inside of you? Do you ignore it? Wait a minute. You pick up something to drink and go, beware. Uh-oh. You don't go ahead and do it, do you? Beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he or she possesses. He spake a parable unto them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, You fool, the one who says that there is no God, the one who in their heart believes that there is no God. Thou fool, this night your soul is required of thee. Then who shall those things be for which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, real treasure is when you and I invest in our lives in the service of the Lord. That's real, true riches. And that's what this verse is saying. Riches can give individuals a false sense of security. And sometimes it even causes people to become very, very proud. In the book of Deuteronomy, those who were wealthy, God told them, never forget that it was me who gave you the ability to gather the wealth that you gathered. Paul's spirit-filled admonition to those in the body of Christ. And God does bless people financially within the body of Christ. You could be wealthy and not be covetous. A person could be a pauper and be covetous. You can drown as easily in a bathtub as you can in the Atlantic Ocean. It's an issue of the heart. Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Listen to this. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You mean I can enjoy the Christian life? You better be enjoying the Christian life. That's not to say that there aren't seasons and trials. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. Are you enjoying what God has given to you? Enjoy what he's given to you. And here's what he says to the rich, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, that they be willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's what eternal life within an individual will do. It will cause you to live for God and to live for others. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. That's what the Lord says. Verse 12, before destruction or before downfall, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Lucifer was once one of the anointed cherubs. Why did he fall from heaven? Pride, haughtiness. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 13, here's another thing about gossip, backbiting. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Or let me break it down. He that answers or responds to a matter before getting all of the facts, it's folly and shame to them. In other words, avoid coming to rash judgments about somebody or something apart from gathering all the facts. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. The Family Bible Notes program said, it is a good rule not to express an opinion about something or someone until we have had a full opportunity to hear both sides. Isn't that just good wisdom? So if I hear something about my brother Paul or my sister Sarah, and usually when somebody comes to talk to you about someone else, it rarely is something good. Sometimes it is. You know what to do? You get the other person. He says, now let's talk. You talk? You talk. Oh, now I get the full story. Unfortunately, because gossip is like a dainty morsel and people love the dish, they'll take what they heard, spread it to another person who spreads it to another person who spreads it to another person without getting all the facts. You think that ever happens? It happens all the time. It, again, is the ordinary, one of the most ordinary demonic activities that happens in every single church. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? There was a story once about two men coming back from serving in the military, and both of them lost an arm in the war. One was a committed Christian, the other wasn't. The one with the spirit of God went on and did great thing with their life. The other remained a recluse and never recovered. The difference? The attitude. The spirit of a man will sustain him or her in their infirmity. But a wounded, a stricken, a smitten spirit, crushed by life's difficulties, who can bear? The heart of the prudent gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you listen to. How many times we read in the Bible, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. In John chapter 10, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, and his sheep hear his voice, but he makes reference to others. And he says, they will not listen to the voice of a stranger. Are we learning to discern the voice of the Lord? Lord, give us ears that seek not just head knowledge, revelation knowledge, transformation knowledge. Give us hearts that seek for God's knowledge, not just to be able to quote, but to live. We want the knowledge of God. We want wisdom, don't we? We need the knowledge of God. We need the wisdom of God to walk as Christians in this fallen world. We need his wisdom and knowledge. Just look how Paul prays for the church at Ephesus in chapter 1 and in chapter 3. Two beautiful spirit-filled prayers for individuals who are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who are accepted in Christ. Those are great prayers to pray. The heart of the prudent gets knowledge. The prudent. A man's gift, not a bribe, but his asset or talent, makes room for him and brings him before great men. Now, here's one that goes along with what we just covered a moment ago. He that is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him out. In other words, the wise person examines all evidence in a careful, probing, prayerful manner before coming to a full-blown conclusion. The warning of this passage instructs us to not be so easily swayed by the person who first states their case. One commentator puts this in the context of a courtroom, and he says, in a courtroom case, this proverb speaks of an individual who is first called to take the stand. They state their case, and they seem right until the other person takes the chair and then speaks their part. So twice we're hearing tonight. Maybe you're dealing with something presently that is similar to what we're talking about. Talking about this situation, this person, and that person. Well, be a wise Berean. Be a spirit-filled Christian. Pray, and do not just take one side of the story as being the whole truth. In fact, there are two sides to every story. How many times have you heard that? The first one to speak sounds true until you hear the other side of the story, and then they set the record straight. And that just seems to be a fact of life, right? Two sides to almost every story. There's only one story that there's only one side to, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are no two sides about it. And that's the most important thing in life. And you can gossip all you want about the Lord. He'll love it when you do. Just gossip about Jesus. Brag about Jesus. Whisper about Jesus. Front bite about Jesus and back bite about Jesus. That's the kind of speaking that ought to come out of our mouths. Verse 18, the lot causes contentions to cease and parts between the mighty. The lots were these marked stones that were placed in a pot and then shaken out. This was a way that was determined to find out who was right or who was wrong. And it was a way that was used to seek to know God's will on something. We don't cast lots today. Last time we find reference to casting lots was when they chose the replacement for Judas. Now we go to the Lord, right? That's where we find the will of God. That's how we understand the will of God. We read his word, we pray, we seek godly counsel, for there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, provided that the counselors are wise. Make sure that when you counsel with somebody, they're wise. Just don't counsel with everybody. I'll tell you that. Just don't pour out your heart to everybody. Sometimes you'll suffer for it. But when they would do this, they would cast the lots, and God honored that back then. Remember when Jonah was asleep in the bottom of the ship, and they're wondering, why is this storm? So here are these sailors casting lots. And he goes downstairs. He says, wake up. Who are you? I'm a prophet of God. Well, if you're a prophet of God, then we're in this storm because you're not where you're supposed to be. And you know the whole story. Verse 19, unfortunately, this is just a tragic part of life here on earth. A brother offended because of unresolved bitterness, resentment, or unforgiveness is harder to be won than a strong city. Notice harder, not impossible. With God, all things are possible. And their contentions, which originate from what? Pride. Only by pride comes contention. Are like the bars of a castle. A brother offended or a sister offended can be more unyielding than a strong city. For the resolution of quarreling meets with the resistance like the bars of a castle. Maybe some of you, unfortunately, there's people in your life that you're thinking of right now. I would encourage you. We all have them. You pray. You pray. The most important thing is that your heart be right in the sight of the Lord. And that if you have been the cause of offense, that you go to that individual and you confess that. And that's once you've done that, that's really the end of your responsibility. Whether they want to forgive, whether they want to let go, is really up to them, right? A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Look at that verse again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Probably everybody here tonight, unfortunately, remembers words that were spoken to them even when they were little children that were words of death, words of condemnation, words of guilt. And it sticks with you. Now, we have to wash our thoughts with the blood of Christ, but it shows the power of those words. Maybe a coach, maybe a teacher, maybe a pastor spoke words of death, or we've all suffered it from it, right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. James 3 is the New Testament commentary on this passage. And not only James, but Proverbs are full of warnings and admonitions about the proper and the improper use of the tongue. The tongue can harm or heal. It can build up or tear down. It can help or hurt, destroy or edify, encourage or discourage. Choose tonight to be an individual through whom life is spoken to others. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's what the Bible says. The power of the tongue. Verse 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. And so this verse refers both to the human action, finding, and the divine governance from the Lord. Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. That's true. That's my experience. I got the better end of the deal. I can tell you that. I got an upgrade and Lizzie got a downgrade. Yeah. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The she that makes ashamed is a rottenness in his bones. I've seen that happen. And it's sad when you see a woman determined to shame her husband. It's sad. It's very sad. Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing. I think of the pronouncement of how good it is. Remember, Adam gave a name to all of the animals, and it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. And then God said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Now, some men, some women are called by God, and they're given the power to live celibate. The Bible talks about that. Doesn't mean that you are an inferior part of the body of Christ. In fact, I would say to all of our singles that Paul didn't mention his single as a disadvantage. In fact, he looked at it as providing him a greater flexibility and mobility to serve the Lord. Thank God for singles who are living sold out for Jesus Christ. Thank God for them. I thank God for them in this body. But when you find a wife, you find a good thing. I would only say this. Beware of getting desperate. It can mar your perception. You know, beware of, if you're unmarried, of someone who says that they're Christian. It's easy to say you're a Christian. Make sure that you check for the evidence. You can tell a tree by its what? By its fruit. And when God puts two together, it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's just a good thing. Verse 23, almost done. The poor uses entreaties, but the rich answer roughly. The tendency of wealthy people, it kind of like fosters pride and haughtiness of spirit. To be rich and at the same time to be truly humble is the fruit of divine grace. The Bible said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Not impossible, but hard. You can't serve God and mammon. John MacArthur writes, "The rich do not need favors from others, so they do not care how they treat or speak to others. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Who might that be? Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." When we were last in the Proverbs, we covered this a little bit more in depth. I believe it is true, and I heard this years ago, and I'm thankful for people who poured wisdom into my life when I was younger. I'm starting to get it now. You know, when you're younger, you know a lot more. You think you know a lot more, right? It's been said that when a family has kids, they're geniuses. And they're know-it-alls until they get in their 20s. Then they realize what a genius mom and dad are. I've been told, and I think it's true, you really find out who your real friends are when you get into trouble, mm-hmm. when you fall miserably, when you're overtaken in a fault. That's when you find out where your real friends are. They will be there to pray for you. They will be there to help you. They will be there to rebuke you, even if you did the worst thing. But they'll stand by your side and will not forsake you. That's a true friend. And the older you get, you realize in life you have a lot of acquaintances, but you have not as many true friends. The time of crisis, the time of failure, the time of hurt, the time of pain. Who are they? They're there. They just show up. They just weep with you when you're weeping. They rejoice when you rejoice. That's a true friend. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Friendship, it says, is a good plant, but it requires a lot of cultivation. It's give and take. And for each and every one of us tonight, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is that friend that sticks closer than a brother, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us, who will never condemn us, who will never make us feel guilty. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. The friend of publicans and sinners. Remember the accusation of the self-righteous religious people? He's a friend of publicans and sinners. Well, publicans and sinners were not allowed to go to church. And Jesus was their friend. And that's why he had a multitude following him. I just love the Proverbs. Read, should the Lord tarry, Proverbs 19 for next Wednesday evening. Father, we thank you for the time tonight in your word. And Father, human words are so limited. And I just trust that, Father, the Spirit of the living God, your Spirit, would have taken these Proverbs and would have directed them into every heart and every soul and every mind here and online and accomplish your purpose to help, to halt, to correct, to warn, whatever it is, Lord. And may we be people, Lord, who seek your face, who seek your knowledge, who seek your heart, who seek to do and say the things that please you and bring you glory. And now receive, Lord, the tongues you've given to us to worship you together and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the
Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.